Like to welcome everyone to the August 22nd, 2024 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and in a little while we'll swear witnesses in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah ZBA are final. Challenges to the decisions of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please turn them off at this time. If you will, join me for the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for a great day to be here and to live in the City of Savannah. Lord, I thank you for these people here. I ask that you give us wisdom as we hear the cases before us. Help us to make right decisions that are pleasing to you and Father, that are just. Lord, I pray that you'd raise up godly men and women to fill every place of authority in this city and in this country. And Lord, we just thank you and ask your blessings on the marriages and families here in Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we have three items requested to be removed from the final agenda. That's 24-004075, 24-004080, and 24-003625. Do I hear a motion to remove these from the final agenda?
I so move.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to remove these from final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
And Brad?
Yes.
Mr. Bow? All right, motion passes, and these items will be removed. We have a request for one item to be withdrawn. That's for 2023 Tuskegee Street. 24-003425. Is there a motion to withdraw this from final agenda?
Motion.
To withdraw, period. Motion by Mr. Condon. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Bow, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, this item is withdrawn. Next, we had the approval of the minutes from the June 27th meeting of ZBA. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Bow?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and the June minutes are approved. We also need to approve the July 25th, 2024 meeting minutes. Is there a motion for that?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Bow, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The minutes for the July meeting are approved. Next, we need to have a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Bow?
Yes.
All right, the final agenda is approved. If you're going to be speaking or giving testimony today, will you please stand? Raise your right hand, repeat after me. If you're online, please do this at home. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right. First, we're going to hear the case 2201 Fernwood Court, relief from nonconformity of an existing ADU, 24-003627.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Brad Clement. I'm from Development Services. I spoke with the petitioner on this application, had been continued from a previous agenda. Due to the storm, they were unable to have the neighborhood meeting that was to occur between the two hearings, and he is again asking for a continuance, and staff recommends approval of such.
Thank you. Is there any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the applicant please come forward? State your name for the record.
Logan Ulm.
How you doing, Mr. Ulm?
Very good.
Anything you'd like to say?
I think he nailed it. Just a continuance to the until we can have an opportunity to sit down with the neighborhood and address some of the concerns that they have.
Okay, so you're asking for a continuance of this item until an unspecified time?
Yes. Till after the next meeting, essentially.
Okay. Is there a motion to continue this? Oh, go ahead, Ms. Wilson.
I'm sorry, but you need to have a date certain. So if it's a continuance until the September meeting, that's fine. If it's a continuance till, you know, the October meeting, but you need to have a date that you put into the record. Thank you.
As for now, I'm not sure when the next neighborhood meeting is. So if we can just do a continuance to the next one, if it's not too much of a hassle to come, and we need to do it again if there's not been a neighborhood meeting, we can handle it that way.
Okay. Do you want us to just do it to the September meeting?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is there a motion to continue this item until the September meeting?
I make a motion that we continue this item until the September meeting.
All right. Mr. Conran has made a motion to continue this item, number 7, until the September meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none. But
Mr. Chair.
There's somebody waving their hand in the back.
I believe he belongs to the Neighborhood Association, so he may be able to tell us when their next neighborhood meeting is.
Again, that I gave you the 2 months just because we weren't sure. I just talked with the neighborhood. I guess he's the president or representative, and their first meeting isn't until the first week in October. So I would recommend that you continue it until the October. What's the date of the October meeting? October 24th, which is when you have your next meeting.
Mr. Conran, would you like to amend your motion?
I'd like to amend my motion to change or postpone this until the October 24th meeting.
All right. Mr. Conran has amended his motion to continue this until the October meeting. Is there Mrs. Jones?
Second.
Mrs. Jones has seconded that. Is there any other discussion on this motion? Right, Mr. Bow, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes, and this item will be continued till the October meeting. Next, we're going to hear 10 North Nicholson Circle, variance to building coverage for ADU 24-004082.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here. This is a request at 10 North Nicholson Circle for a variance to the maximum building coverage and permissible size of an accessory structure for the purpose of building an accessory structure that is 30 by 30 feet in area, and this is in excess of the maximum floor area in relation to the principal structure that is permitted by the zoning ordinance. The purpose of the structure is not known. It's indicated on the provided site plan as a utility building. And again, this is only a conceptual site plan. You can see on your screen right now, this is an aerial image, and this is the approximate location of the proposed accessory structure at the end of my mouse. Just to read through a couple of the facts, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. So the subject property is approximately 12,893 square feet, and it is a conforming parcel with regard to both frontage and area within the zoning district. The RSF 6 zoning district permits a maximum floor area of 40% for an accessory structure or dwelling unit in relation to the principal, and the structure is proposed to be 900 square feet, which is in excess of that. It would be at about 44%, where, again, 40 is the maximum permitted. Also, just to note for the record, there is an encroaching accessory on from the adjoining property that is likely not the size that required a building permit. It is likely easily moved. With that, MPC staff does recommend denial of the request, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Morrow?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, Mr. Connick.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
What size would it need to be to conform so that they wouldn't need a variance? So right now we've got 44% of coverage. How much smaller would the building need to be?
So,
sorry, it's not a test. I was just curious.
No, no worries. If I just get to my calculator. So the principal dwelling is 2,031.25 times 0.4. So it could be a maximum of 812 square feet.
So if he built an 812 square foot building, would he need to be here?
No, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you, sir. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Chad Yonk, and I am the owner of the lot. As was said before, this is not an ADU. It's not livable space. It's just a utility building, a garage, storage. One thing that was mentioned was that small accessory building next to it, that is not mine. That is the neighbor's, and it's encroaching on my line, and that's kind of our own dispute right now, but I'm hoping to have him move that at least out of the way from my building. The extra 2 feet roughly is what I'm asking for, two feet by 30. It doesn't affect the neighbors in any way, the size difference, or affect anybody else in any other way other than just the size requirement. And the variance is fairly small. Like you said, I think it's under 100 square feet difference between the two. So, any other questions about
any questions,
my intent?
Petitioner?
Does the building not work for you if you shrink it down to the size that makes it?
I understand what you're saying. Part of the reason I'm asking for it is because the type of building I'm putting up, they like to make, the manufacturers like to make them in standard sizes. And so 30 by 30 tends to be a standard size. When I step outside that envelope, it makes it either more expensive or impossible for them to do, oddly enough. So the manufacturer that I had talked to said that 30 by 30 is one of their standard sizes, and that if I can do that, that would be far easier. This is not a stick-built custom building, so I kind of have to conform to the manufacturer or else not build it at all.
How are you going to access the building?
Eventually, I would like a driveway if possible, but that may or may not be possible. I'm still trying to understand the requirements of that. And from what I've gathered, it's going to be a decision for traffic engineering. And so that ideally, I would like a curb cutout. That may not be possible. Otherwise, I may have to join it to the existing driveway or use that as the principal driveway and get rid of the original curb cut. So those are kind of my two options. I did not label that on here for this meeting, but that is the future plan.
It's a extraordinarily large building in a neighborhood like that. This is, I think, part of the reason that the MPC is concerned about it. You know, if it was a 12 by 20 or a 24 by 24, you know what I mean? Like a 30 by 30, it's considerably larger than a two-car garage. And I think that's where the concern lies, you know, beyond the obvious that you're stepping 4% beyond the 40% rule.
Understood.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you, sir. Would any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? There's no one online. All right. Well, we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion? Come on, Mr. Turner.
A motion that we deny.
Mr. Turner has made a motion to deny the request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
I second.
All right, it's seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Bell, how do you vote?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and the variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear 617 East 33rd Street, variance to reestablish a nonconforming use, 24-004084.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is a request by Mr. Robert McCorkle for the property at 617 East 33rd Street. And the petitioner is asking for relief from nonconformity to reestablish a pre-existing nonconforming use. That is the use that for which the two structures on the property were built is no longer permitted and would not be allowed. But as the structures remain, in order to improve them, in essence, and obtain building permits, relief from nonconformity is required from the ZBA. The subject property presently contains two detached single-family dwellings, both indicated as having been constructed in 1900. And as the dwellings have been out of continuous use for at least 1 year, the zoning ordinance does require that relief from nonconformity be obtained. At present, this zoning district would only permit one single-family dwelling on the parcel. And so what's being requested of you is to consider allowance of reestablishment of the two separate single-family dwellings. You can see on your screen an overhead view here of the two dwellings. The first one with frontage on East 33rd Street and the one at the rear with frontage on East 33rd Lane. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record, but I will take a moment to kind of walk through as the reestablishment criteria are a little bit different from our standard variance criteria. The subject property is about 2,100 square feet in area, 21 feet wide by 100 feet deep, and it is a non-conforming parcel with regard to its frontage and area within the zoning district. For all allowable dwelling types, it would only be permitted to have a single-family residence because there is another clause that permits the establishment of a single-family dwelling on any parcel that is zoned for residential use. So according to information from the Chatham County Tax Assessor, which you can see below, there have been two dwellings on this parcel since at least 1900. Again, frontage on both sides. And the petitioner has stated there's an intent for the renovation of both residences. Significant to note, NUZO now requires an off-street parking space for each of the dwellings. Approval of this request would, in essence, render this legal nonconforming and would resolve that issue of not having parking for both dwellings. You can see here this is a snip from the property record card showing that both of the dwellings were indicated as having been built in 1900. And you can also see here that this is something that would otherwise be permitted if you had sufficient area and frontage within this zoning district. These are the permissible use types within this district. Again, I'm going to walk through these variance criteria quickly. The design of the building cannot readily accommodate a permitted use of the zoning district in which it is located. The design of the structures was actually for residential use, again, just at a density that would not be permitted under the current standards. And the intent is to reestablish these as two separate dwellings as they were built. Point two, the building has not been subsequently redesigned. Again, these are just going to be updated, and this is needed to actually pull the building permits to make the improvements. The proposed reestablishment is not detrimental to the public interest. Again, the dwellings proposed for reestablishment have been in place since at least 1900, and they have simply fallen into disrepair. Neither unit has dedicated off-street parking and thus will add to the on-street parking burden within this area. Criteria number four, the proposed use is of the same as the most recent nonconforming use. This is true. The proposed use is the same as the purpose of original construction. And finally, the general site standards comply with this ordinance to the extent reasonably possible. That is accurate. They would not comply, but this would be a reasonable use of the property, and they do comply to the greatest extent reasonably possible under the circumstances. With that, staff is recommending approval of this request with three conditions. The first being that gutters would be installed on both of the dwellings to ensure that there's no stormwater runoff adjoining properties or the lane. The second being no future expansion of the existing structures or significant modifications shall be permitted except in conformance with the zoning district and permitted uses. These are very small dwellings, and the intent of this particular condition is to ensure that there's not, in essence, reconstruction of new substantially larger dwellings at some point in the future, simply the improvement of the existing structures for their habitability. The third and final condition, a plat be recorded that indicates both structures and their approved uses. A note be added to the plat indicating the date the variance was granted and corresponding case number. And this, of course, helps us keep track of the decisions of our boards here. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff?
Nope.
Thank you.
Sure.
Would petitioner please come forward?
Edward,
are you looking? What's going on, man?
Let's stand here together all day.
We didn't plan this.
Did not. All right. Thank you all. Robert McCorkle here on behalf of the petitioner, AWSE Affordable Housing. This is kind of an interesting story of this property about how we got here, of trying to resolve this problem of just trying to restore these houses to a beautiful, like new condition. My client acquired the property. It had been listed as a blighted property and had blight tax. My client acquired the property. They then started receiving ordinance violations from the city about demanding that the properties be renovated and fixed up. This is a front view. I can't remember whether y'all saw a front view or not. This is actually trash from the construction that's going on next door. There's a new infill house going on immediately next door. This is the house in the front, which you can see it's all boarded up. And then this is the house in the rear on the lane. And then this is a picture of the lane from the backside. You can see the truck coming back here. It is actually a functioning lane, at least just past our house. And there's trash pickup and city maintenance back there. So my client got together for their permits and went and applied for the permit at the city, and then the city denied the permits because of an existing nonconformity on the property because there are two houses. So they're simultaneously being demanded to repair the houses, and they're also being told that they can't repair the houses. And so we met with the city staff to talk about the situation, and, I mean, the gist of it was really that nobody wants these houses torn down. Nobody wants to remove a housing unit out of the city when we have the housing shortage that we have. And so how do we get here? And the conclusion ultimately was that we need to come here today and ask for this variance. The variance that's being asked for is to allow for the two residents to remain on the house. It's also to allow for any of the existing nonconformities essentially that exist with those houses to continue to exist. There is no intent to expand these houses. We know we cannot expand the houses, but they're going to get new plumbing and electrical and be fixed up and be new places. I will mention that the purpose of the ordinance that we're asking is to promote reuse and rehabilitation of the nonconformities, which is exactly what we're doing. We agree with staff that this is a great thing. It's a good thing for the neighborhood. We believe we meet the criteria. I do want to mention that my client has done a fair amount of this, and I just want to point out a couple of examples. They have acquired houses that have both been blighted or burned and various things that have been condemned by the city, and then restored them back. Despite the condemnation of those houses. And just as a couple of examples, this is a before picture of 1923 Beach Street as it existed when they acquired it. And then this is the post-work pictures of 1923 Beach Street. And then this is Holly Avenue, which had been condemned. You can see here it's a little bit dark, but you can see the pictures. And then this is the aftermath of what they did. So they do have experience doing this. They do a good product. They know how to put something back in the place that it is. We support staff's recommendation for approval, and we're fine with the conditions of being placed on it by staff. With that, we'd ask for your approval.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkle. Any questions for the petitioner? All right.
Thank you
very much, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Okay. Mr. Bow, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Codden?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones? Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation of approval with the conditions as described.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve with staff recommendations and conditions. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Bell, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes and variance is granted with conditions.
I vote aye as well.
Mr. Stephen Plunk.
Good morning, Mr. Plunk.
Good morning. Apologize for being late.
No worries. Next, we're going to hear 2115 East Gwinnett Street, Unit C, variance to reestablish nonconforming use, 24-003994.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. As you just stated, this is requested 2115 East Gwinnett, Unit C. This is another reestablishment request, so similar criteria to be applied from the previous case to this one. The petitioner is requesting a variance to reestablish a nonconforming restaurant use in what is currently a residential zone, single-family residential zoning district. The city has provided documentation demonstrating that the structure has been used previously for commercial purposes, and specifically even a restaurant within one of its suites. However, new zone requires, again, where a nonconforming use has been discontinued for at least a year. Reestablishment is, necessitates the grant of variance relief from this board. This particular restaurant, it's worth noting that the petitioner is proposing only takeout. There's to be no indoor seating. So there is an aerial view of the subject property, and it's, again, just one of the suites within this commercial structure. I don't have the zoning map here, do I? Okay, so actually, yes, this little tiny corner here. Sorry, tiny detour. Just to show you, there's actually neighborhood business zoning here. There's limited business. There's planned development here. Just to give you some context, this is an area that is somewhat mixed in nature, aside from this very firm line and this existing nonconforming structure, just to give you some idea of the context in which this is happening. But again, if you think about it, we're talking about something where people could reasonably be expected to leave their homes and walk down the street to commercial uses. So with that, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record, but I will walk through a few of the findings and the criteria. So the subject property itself is about 13,000 square feet. It is conforming with regard to frontage and area for this zoning district, though, again, it contains a nonconforming structure. It contains a 6,600 square foot building built originally in 1960, and the tax assessor identifies it as a barbershop and retail store at present. According to information obtained from the petitioner, the building is a multi-tenant structure with spaces for three tenants. I mentioned this for the purpose of understanding the location of future tenants within the structure and the demands for parking that may or may not be evident at this point. Unit C was operated as a restaurant in the past, but stopped operating for unknown reasons and for an unknown amount of time. And the petitioner is requesting to reestablish a restaurant use within this particular suite. The petitioner has stated that there are plans for other spaces to have tenants in the future. And again, this would be per the building owner, but there is no parking agreement in place, and it has not created has not identified the specific potential uses which impacts the specific off-street parking demand to be generated by any given use that would go into the building. So the zoning administrator has indicated that the board's approval for reestablishment of the use would grant relief from nonconformity, in essence, for standards not met as long as the structure is not expanded. So again, this is a situation where we want to allow them to reestablish a restaurant under the condition that there be no expansion of the facility. At that point, it would come into the scope of a site plan review, which may require further variances. So what you're looking at right now is actually a screen snip from business licensing. You can see here that there was a food service permit that was issued here previously. It expired in 2023. So, I will quickly walk through our criteria again because they are relevant. The building could potentially be reconfigured for residential use, though it was not at any previous point designed for such. So the second criteria, the building has not been substantially redesigned. Again, the principal structure is indicated as having been improved or renovated in 1985, but again, the initial use was commercial in nature, so no modifications there. The one significant point to note is that without further knowledge of the future potential uses at the site, it is possible that this could be detrimental by creating additional parking demand if there is not a remedy sought to, in essence, sort of place traffic elsewhere or to figure out kind of a traffic circulation pattern so that you don't create backups within the neighborhood for folks who are attempting to utilize these new commercial uses. Point four, the proposed use is the same as the most recent non-conforming use. That is accurate. And finally, given that the site was originally developed in 1960, it likely does not meet several of the city's general site standards. But again, any expansion of the facility itself would trigger a site plan review, at which point new variances could potentially be identified and would require the approval of this board or the MPC. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request with one condition, that being no future expansion of existing structures or significant modifications shall be permitted except in conformance with the zoning district and the permitted uses. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Morrow? Mr. Morrow, these conditions, like the no future expanding, if we make a motion and approve this and that's included, I mean, does this go in record somewhere and at some point they if they applied and y'all would look at it and say, oh, no, you can't do this because of the conditions of the variance?
That is correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Morning. Eli Porter, petitioner.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have anything you'd like to say?
Yes. I would like to say that I'm just been seeking this opportunity to get in Savannah. I feel like it'd be great for that neighborhood. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a community leader. It'll provide jobs. We've been through all of the inspections already, passed all the inspections with the holdup for the business location approval. I'm not sure how I've got to be the last position, but fire marshal already came through, the grease trap inspector, health inspection. All those things have been done already, and I've been leasing this facility since May. So I've been paying. I put a lot of money into the facility already. So I'm just praying that you guys allow me to, you know, bring money to the city and help the city grow.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any questions for the petitioner?
I do.
Go ahead, Mr. Conn.
What kind of food?
It's Wings. My restaurant is called Wings University. Started in 2017, so it started in Statesboro, Georgia. We're pretty known in the area there. College students love it. So being right over there by Savannah High School and Savannah State University, where I went to as well, it'll bring some.
That's my neighborhood over there, so I'm happy to see a nice Wings place there. You get Kennedy's though. Kennedy's a big rival you're gonna have over there.
Okay, they're pretty good. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Any other questions for petitioner? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? None online? Okay, well, we enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir. Mr. Condon asked the only question I cared about.
I got you. Mrs. Jones?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Okay, would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we accept the recommendation from the staff.
Okay, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the variance with staff recommendations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Bell, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is approved with conditions. Next, we're going to hear 306 West 40th Street, a variance for ADU 24-003611.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request by Alexander and Catherine Willie at 306 West 40th. For permission to construct an ADU in excess of the 40% square footage of the principal dwelling, the proposed ADU would be 53.13% of the size of the principal dwelling. This is an aerial view of the subject property. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. Subject property measures approximately 6,700 square feet. It's 58 feet wide and 115 feet deep. The property is located in the streetcar historic district, and it is a conforming property within the zoning district. The petitioner has the intent to build a 700 square foot accessory dwelling unit. And since the existing principal dwelling is 1,312 square feet, this makes the proportion of the proposed ADU in relation to the principal dwelling 53%. Again, approximately 13% in excess of the 40% maximum. I'll note that this petition did go through the Historic Preservation Commission, and they have approved a part one, and they are also, and they are also recommending approval of the variance from this board. They've made a variance recommendation of approval. I will jump down. Actually, let me show you. This is the site plan. You can see this is the proposed addition right here. It's a two-story addition. And this is the existing residence. So you can see they're very close. I'd just like to point out it would be conforming in every other sense other than the 40%. But also criteria number one, I'll point this out, the requested variance is inconsistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance and comp plan, and that accessory uses are intended to be diminutive in size relative to the size of the principal use on a lot. By practice, the zoning administrator has established a threshold of 50% for uses and structures intended to be regarded as accessory to a principal. Again, acknowledging that the lot is a little bit larger, but this is not in and of itself a hardship. With that, MPC staff does recommend denial of this variance request, and I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
And you might. So the Historic Preservation Commission has approved Part 1 already, and they're recommending approval, and Part 1 is for height and mass.
That is correct.
Yes. Any questions for staff? Okay, thank
you. Go ahead, Mr. Conner. This is a variable matter, though.
It is. That's correct.
Any other questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning. I'm Katie Willey. I'm owner of the property.
Good morning.
Just to give a little background, my husband and I bought this property in 2019. We decided about 2020, 2021 that we would love to build an accessory dwelling. It's our first time. We're not builders. We're not architects. So we've sought a lot of help out from professionals with the city. It's been a long process. So we made the plans, hired the respective professionals to help us. Upon submitting for approval to the HVC the first time, they said, oh, actually, something's changed. It's no longer 40% of the square footage of the existing dwelling. It's 40% of the footprint. That's half because it's a two-story building. So given that we already put all this into it, we asked, would it be up for discussion? HBC said, yes, come on forward. So we did recommend it. The meeting was actually two parts. So part one was approved at the first meeting. They asked us for more information, better drawings. So we came back for part two and the variance at the second meeting next month. Both were approved at that meeting, just to clarify.
So you've cleared part one and part two?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I totally understand why you would not want to exceed 40% of an existing dwelling. We don't want to take up all the grass space. All of these units in the area, most of them, the houses take up at least 50% of the yard. If you'll notice, our yard is massive and the house is really small. So we thought this a perfect opportunity for a variance. Totally understand. All of this is grass. It's dead in this picture, but I swear it's grass. All of this is grass. This is gravel over here, but this is just a shadow. The house actually ends right there. So it's really small, and it takes up less than 20% of the lot, the existing dwelling. With the addition of the 700-square-foot footprint building, it would only still take up 29% of the lot. Happy to answer any questions.
And so this is a two-story dwelling. So if you were able to count square footage of the building rather than the footprint, you would not be here.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions for petitioner? All right. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? There are none. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say? Okay, we'll come back to Mr. Plunk. You probably hit the mute button.
No, I don't. I've got nothing.
Okay. Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Conlon?
No, sir.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Bell?
I'd just like to add, it does seem like they're being penalized a little bit. If this were a one-story house, they wouldn't have this problem. You know, the lot's big enough. They could almost build three houses if everything else laid out. So I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, or an addition.
Right. Or the applicant can do an addition by right.
Yeah. Yeah. Would anyone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we grant the application for the variance.
All right. Mr. Conlon has made a motion to grant the variance that has been asked for. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Bell. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Bell, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 0 Gable Street side yard setback variance. Or a side setback variance, 24-004053.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is a request by Ryan Jennings on behalf of Patricia Ann Nelson for 0 Gable Street. You can see the subject property here in the image on your screen. The petitioner is requesting approval of a variance to permit 2.5-foot side yard setbacks where 5 feet would ordinarily be required on both sides of what will be a single-family detached dwelling in the RSF5 zoning district. You can already tell this is not a 50-foot-wide lot. And so, in essence, this is being somewhat penalized by the fact that it doesn't have requisite area or frontage. Nonetheless, it's not – the request isn't consistent with what would normally the standards that would be applied to a lot of this size, if that makes sense, in a more traditional context. So just to give you an overview there, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. The subject property is a vacant parcel with street and lane access. It's nonconforming regarding both frontage and area. You can see here that the lot is relatively narrow. There is a 20-foot dwelling that is proposed, 20 feet wide, and they are requesting to have 2.5-foot side setbacks on either side of this home. To go through the standards, the side and interior yard setbacks are 5 feet in the RSF5. The proposal is nonconforming in regard to this. And also, again, because of the lot's small size, you would typically see 50% for a lot of this size. But in the RSF5, 40% is the maximum lot coverage. You got 46% as proposed. So staff also found some parcels that show consistent development in the area. This is actually a street view. You can see that this is proposed to go in this general area. Due to the proposed configuration, the building department may require that fire-rated walls be installed. Again, just because of the potential proximity with other dwellings that may come here in the future, that's something that we're attempting to keep in mind with the recommendation for this request. So in going through our variance criteria, the request is inconsistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance with regard to the purpose and necessity of setbacks for structures from property lines. Special conditions, the nonconformity of the lot does create a special condition that restricts the owner's ability to develop the property in a manner consistent with the surrounding area. Limitations imposed by the lot size are specific to the property and do not apply to the majority of other lands or structures. That is significant to note. With that, I'm going to jump down to staff's recommendation, which is for denial of the 2.5-foot side yard setback. Approval of this alternative for 3-foot side yard setbacks, consistent with what we would treat a similarly configured traditional lot with 3 conditions. The first being to reduce the side yard setback to 3, 2 feet of relief, 12 inches of relief for the setback of eaves and overhangs. So again, 24 inches where 36 inches would ordinarily be required. and that would be 1 foot of relief. And finally, to permit lot coverage up to 49%, which is consistent with use of, in essence, the full building envelope that would be made available by these variances. So with that, I am happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff?
No.
Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward? Is the petitioner here? Mr. Morrow, do you know anything about the petitioner?
I have spoken to him on the phone several times. We didn't necessarily have conversations about his being here today. But he has provided supplementary documentation, you know, in support of our analysis. He's aware of our recommendation. I'll say he wasn't pleased, but, you know, he's
okay
been working with us. I won't say he's okay with it, but he is well aware. Anytime we're going to recommend denial, I always call a petitioner and say, these are the reasons. This is what the recommendation will be. So even if not here, he's fully aware that this was the recommendation.
Are y'all willing to hear this without the petitioner present?
Well, I mean, normally we don't want to do that.
Yeah, normally we do not.
What do you think?
Well, I certainly would entertain a motion if someone wants to make a motion to continue it. But you get a chance to speak in a minute, ma'am. If we move forward.
I make a motion that we postpone this so that obviously there's a few folks in the audience that want to speak in reference to, which I think we'll let them speak either way. But I think we should postpone until the gentleman can be here to answer the questions of the ladies in the audience when the time comes.
Absolutely.
So Mr. Condon has made a motion to continue this item until next month's meeting. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Griffith. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and this item will be continued until next month. And that being the case, I don't think it'd be appropriate to hear any more about it until then. Apologies to the ladies that showed up to when the petitioner didn't show up. But if you wish to speak, it'll be next month when we hear this item again. All right. There are no other items on the agenda, so we'll be adjourned.